For college basketball fans, this is the culmination of a long season, with four teams playing for the national championship, now down to two. Sorry, Duke. Unfortunately, Michigan and Michigan State, although both having great seasons, didn't make the cut this year. Before the final four games, I like to watch the 1986 movie Hoosiers, as it favors the underdog teams to win. Upon reflection of the readings in the gospel this weekend, I saw some interesting parallels. The movie portrayed how a small town high school basketball team in Milan, Indiana, with literally just a handful of players, won the state championship in 1954. Reminds me of the role of the disciples when they're called to reach out and preach in neighboring towns and villages as virtual unknowns to the townspeople, spreading the word of God. Coach Norman Dale in the movie came to this small fictitious town called Hickory and shook up the locals with his methods of coaching, much like Jesus bringing the word and new ideas to the Jews and Gentiles alike, encouraging others to follow him. Jesus was not welcomed by all, as he offered a new and radical way of life, an eternal life filled with joy and true happiness with the Father. Many resisted him because they didn't like change, just trying to live day by day. Some thought Jesus seemed too good to be true. Coach Norman was not well received at first because the player's dads had told him, "This town doesn't like change much. Let us show you how we do things around here." This also sounds a bit like the scribes and the Pharisees in our gospel today. Another example from the Father's: zone defense is all we've ever played in the past, and it's the only thing that's going to work this year. Lastly, a player's dad telling the new coach before practice, "The boys need a routine. If you throw new ideas at them, they're going to get all confused." In our first reading, Isaiah tells us, "Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago. Consider not. I am doing something new." The point Isaiah is making: we need to envision our own faith transformation and relationship with God, making efforts each day to move in a more positive direction. Are we growing in faith and allowing ourselves to be increasingly dependent upon God? What are we doing differently today to strengthen our relationship with Christ? Statements from the basketball dads in the movie and the authorities in the gospel show nothing but spite and short-sightedness. They cling to what worked in the past and give no credence to the present or the future. Even as the basketball season begins, the parents in the towns plot to get rid of the new coach, looking for ways to get him fired, eventually having a town hall meeting and voting to remove him temporarily. This is similar to when Jesus' public ministry grew in size and popularity. The authorities kept a watchful eye on Jesus, afraid he would disturb their balance of order and dominion over the people. They relished the routine of the people under their control as it kept them in power and wealth. An agitator stirring up the masses, Jesus had to be dealt with immediately. In our gospel, we see the authorities trying to trap Jesus, looking for him to disobey the laws in an effort to imprison him. They had no real interest in the law or concern for scapegoating a woman, asking her to be stoned. It was all meant to entrap Jesus with their vengeful minds. Much like Coach Norman, Jesus was seen as a liability to be dealt with, one with new ideas, but threatened their power, status, and their way of life. As we get nearer to his passion, Jesus begins to reveal himself to the authorities. Closed-minded and closed-hearted, his accusers fear their selfish lives at risk. Those who opposed Jesus, and in the movie Coach Norman, could not envision any other alternatives because of their hate and fear in their hearts. In both cases, each had to go, and those opposed used local laws to try and justify their means. Under Roman rule, blaming others and expulsion helped keep the order. You see the irony here? The accusers, who themselves are sinners, are trying to trap Jesus. They're condemning another sinner and calling for her to be stoned. Knowing the trap set for him by the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus proposes a third option within the law. Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And they went away one by one. After the accusers left, Jesus asks the woman, "Has no one condemned you?" And she replies, "No, sir." Then Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." Author René Girard states, "Jesus unveils for scribes and Pharisees the unstable order of their society that's been predicated upon the violent act of expulsion. The effect of this unveiling was to identify the accusers and the accused so that a new community of compassion and forgiveness can be forged, a transformation of love, mercy, and reconciliation may now take place." When a former star player joined the team after watching coaches' plays and ideas, the rest of the players joined in. With the town relenting and the players winning, all their lives were transformed. So where do we find ourselves with all this? St. Paul sums it up the best. "It's not that I've already attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus." Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit towards the prize of God's upward calling. At this point in our Lenten journey, Jesus reaches into the depths of our heart and soul, offering a closer relationship with him, to be one with Christ. In love and trust, may we let go of our daily routines and allow Jesus to transform us into the loving and merciful people of God that he's called us to.